Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri podcast by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
This will probably be a short podcast because, although it did gain a lot of neat information and impressions while I was in Florida, I also gained quite the cold and sore throat. But I did want to share a couple thoughts that occurred to me when I was listening to the replay of President Obama's inauguration address. It's interesting now in the age of technology that as soon as something happens, we get the instant replay. And in the case of the spoken word, and thanks to various word processing programs, it is now possible for pundits and others with minimal skill to dissect what somebody says to the nth degree. So there was a lot of that that went on regarding the speech. But one fact, which no doubt was the result of a global word search, rather than somebody actually sitting down and counting them. One fact was that in his speech, President Obama only used the word I three times. All the other times, he used the plural we. The only other president who did that more often was Thomas Jefferson. This interested me because that single word choice has phenomenal implications. I see evidence of this in my work all the time. There are people out there who, when their animal develops a problem, think of this as the animal's problem. They don't speak in the plural we relative to fixing this problem, even though they and the animal share both a physical and an emotional environment. It's always he or she did this, he or she did that, and what are you going to do to change him? People typically want an external cure for their animals. They want a pill or something that they can give once or twice a day, or maybe engage with the animal 5 or 10 minutes twice a day, and the animal will take care of the rest. At the other end are the I group, and the I group wants to do everything. They see the problem as something that they can fix all by themselves. No matter how much the animal is contributing to this problem, no matter what other extenuating facts there are, and above all, no matter how many other people there are in the household, they have defined themselves as the fixers, and they're going to fix it. Both types of people have to learn to think in terms of we rather than me, or the dog, or the cat. Because we're all in this together. Everything that that person does has an impact on that animal and vice versa. It's not just about the animal, and it's not just about the person. It's about that animal and how that animal interacts with all the other animals and all the other people in that environment. And I'm also part of the we. I wish I had a magic wand. You know, I stayed at a conference center less than a mile from Disney World. I could have popped right over there and bought a magic wand had they had one in my size that really works. But we all know there's no such thing as a magic wand. There's no silver bullet. There's no magic test. There's no gene for behavior. There's no chemical imbalance that can be magically balanced with this or that medication. We all have to pitch in. We all have to do our parts. I count on my clients to create an environment that makes it easy for their animals to learn. And their animals bring their own fears and insecurities to the table, but also a willingness to give them up. And the same is true for humans, too. I know this might come as a surprise to you, but as a species, particularly in Western high-tech civilization, we can be pretty doggone insecure. So it's we. We. Not I. We do it together. It's you, the animal, functioning as a unit. We've got all kinds of studies to prove that. And then when I or the behavioral consultant or the veterinarian or anyone you're working with and even other members of the family walk in, then we add them to the mix too. By acknowledging that, then we can make the most out of all of that potential rather than seeing any addition that doesn't fit in with our belief system about whose problem it is and who's responsible for fixing it. We can take advantage of all these different sources of help and input and solve this problem much sooner and better. But it all starts with making that transition from I to we. We have to communicate to our animals that it's not all about them. And we have to communicate the same thing to ourselves. Whether we're professionals or folks whose animals need help, it's not all about us either. We're all in this together.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.